Birder 34, Bird Fair Blues. 3 days of fame is just as much as I would want to ever cope with. It may be affirming, but it's also exhausting, confusing, deafening, and dangerous for the eyeballs. Let me explain. I've just spent 3 full-on days at the British Bird Fair, the greatest birding show on earth, where 25,000 birders rampage through a dozen massive marquees in search of optics, bird tours, artwork, and well-known personalities. The Oddies, Dilgers, Lindos, and Packhams of this birding world are subject to sycophantic assaults and sheer adoration by virtue of their TV appearances. Common birders genuflect or laugh hysterically if the objects of their desire so much as acknowledge their existence. Us D-listers, minor birding celebs, get plenty of affirmation when web fans and grumpy article aficionados come by, but it generally falls short of stalking or being pelted with warm underwear. However, I do meet hundreds of people and chat to them, listening to their needs, desires, and even on occasion praises. While doing so, the public address system will be red hot with use as events are advertised and raffle ticket prize winners are notified. It nearly reaches breaking under the strains of Johnny Kingdom announcing his forthcoming talk. Sandwich sellers will vend their wares loudly and with celestial bells ringing, while a host of birders create an unangelic mob of hubbub well above their fighting weight. I, in any event, 90%. Now I start again. I am, in any event, 90% deaf in one ear. By day 3, I am only able to nod and smile as I desperately try to read lips, name badges, facial expressions, and notes that Maggie hands me in order to get a clue to what's going on. At the best of times, you can confuse me by just asking me what I want for dinner, but deafen me beyond my normal disability and I can barely spell my own name or remember what I scoffed for breakfast. The confusion is further exacerbated by my inbuilt inability to recognise anyone I don't actually live with. As I said at the BBF 1,827 times, I never forget a face, nor a name, but I'm rarely able to put the two together. This can, of course, be embarrassing for me and insulting to the person I'm trying to hold a conversation with. Is there anything more galling than a name badge which is either illegible? I'll read that again. Is there anything more galling than a name badge which is either illegible or turned volte-face? Worse still, which also covers up the company main. No, gawd. Is there anything more galling than a name badge which is either illegible or torn? What is this? That is either illegible or turned volte-face. Worse still, one which is covered. Oh, bum. Worse still, one which also covers up the company name on the polo shirt. I managed to turn a BBC wildlife cameraman into someone I once arranged a trip for, and the director of an ornithological society into a birding for all member. I then called someone Anthony throughout a 15-minute conversation, only to find out later that Anthony was his surname. Despite this, exhibiting at the fair is affirming fun. One of the most enjoyable things you can do that isn't fattening and is neither illegal nor immoral. However, it is a great deal of hard work and I find it physically draining. Now, I don't suppose I've ever mentioned this. I've got arthritis. Have I said that in any of my articles? Being so stoic and self-effacing, I probably kept this from the reading public. I bravely soldier on. I'll start again. I've probably kept this from the listening public. I bravely soldier on, surprisingly unrewarded with medals, nor even seen on the birthday honours list. It's a shame, as G-O-B, O-B-E, has such a ring to it. Where was I? Ah, yes, the arthritis. I've suffered for more than 40 years from this disease. However, it was only 5 years ago that I found out that one of the symptoms, other than pain, skeletal shrinkage and curvature, apparently is deep fatigue. So it turns out that I'm only half as idle as I thought I was. By the time our stall is all set up on the Thursday, I'm wiped out. I can barely manage an evening pint before crashing out. So on Friday morning, I'm ready to meet all the show-going birders. Most decidedly not. I'm exhausted. There you have it. Just call me Exhausted, Deafened and Confused, formerly of Tunbridge Wells. Ah. Now, you're probably wondering about the ocular danger I mentioned at the outset. Well, this is a very sad tale of misunderstood motivation coupled with the overactive and evil mind of she who must be obeyed. Sometime on a Saturday, the confusion, deafness and exhaustion was showing in my demeanour. I know you're going to find it hard to believe that I'm not always bringing over with bonhomie. My face was ashen, my spirits low. I could barely whisper a plea for a fresh coffee and a blueberry muffin as I held court in my office. And that's the corner of the stand with two canvas seats and a large electric fan. It was, and I'm prepared to say this in court if necessary, purely a coincidence that I made the supreme effort to perk up at the exact moment when I was visited by two young ladies from Sweden. My head was bowed so low with fatigue that I had to be told later how attractive and blonde they both were. I became animated for no other reason than that I knew I had to make an effort for my adoring public. I think that while this would have gone almost unnoticed, it wouldn't have been sufficient for Hawkeye to begin to sharpen a stick. I'll read that again. I think that, while this would not have passed unnoticed, it would not have been sufficient for Hawkeye to begin to sharpen a stick, let alone wave it dangerously close to my orbits. That only came about when they asked for a photograph with me. Is it my fault, just to make sure they were in the frame, that they had to put their arms around my neck and press their cheeks against my grizzled jowl? That's the end, folks.